Chapter 30 Fresh Well Water. When they got off the train at Wilsonville, Mrs. Ellis was surprised at the greetings this dusty, ragged-looking cowboy received. Buck's position in the community as its richest farmer brought with it a certain respect not shared by the common folk. As the three of them walked down the street, everyone they passed smiled and said,
"Good morning, Mr. Adams. How have you been doing? We haven't seen you around town for a while. Is everything all right?"
Or some other comment similar to that. To each, Buck replied,
"Things are just fine. I had to go out of town to take care of some business."
Mrs. Ellis said nothing, but Buck could tell that she was impressed. Then two young lads ran up to them and asked,
"Can we help you with your bags, Buck?"
This was a familiarity allowed only the children of the town. The adults knew better. Buck pitched them both a penny and handed them Mrs. Ellis's bags.
"You been back out west, Buck?"
one of the boys asked as he looked Buck over.
"Yep."
His brief answer let the boys know that he did not want to talk, so both fell in behind them and never asked any more questions. Buck would often take the time to visit with the town children. At times, he was still just a little boy inside. If he was not in the mood to talk, the children knew to back off. They had witnessed his bad temper at the tavern when someone made the mistake of overstepping their bounds and getting on his wrong side. As the group neared the cafe, the smell of sausage and eggs frying reminded Buck they had not had breakfast. He certainly did not want another stale cheese sandwich. Miss Ann, the owner of the cafe, had fed Luther and Buck about the only decent meals they ate. Neither of them could cook worth a damn. He always thought Miss Ann was sort of sweet on Luther, because she always served him the bigger piece of pie. Whenever Buck suggested this fact to Luther, he would laugh it off, saying,
"I don't go for no fat women."
Miss Ann's proportions were rather generous, and Luther was a die-hard bachelor. He vowed that he would never have some woman telling him what to do. His occasional visits to the upstairs of the tavern were enough for him. Miss Ann greeted Buck warmly at the door. He introduced Mrs. Ellis and Richie. Then Miss Ann seated them. Buck's two miniature porters stopped in the doorway, still holding the bags. Each tilted his little head back slightly and took a long sniff of the aroma drifting out from the kitchen.
"You think you boys could choke down some of Miss Ann's hotcakes?"
"Sure thing, Buck."
As they set the bags just inside the doorway and ran to the table next to Buck. After a good breakfast, Buck had the boys take the bags to the blacksmith shop. He told them to tell Mr. Anderson that he would be needing the use of a wagon and that he would send it back by Luther. Buck then excused himself and went to the bathroom out back. This gave Mrs. Ellis an opportunity to ask Miss Ann about him.
"Mr. Adams is a good man, kind of a loner, though. He's real good with kids. However, he can have a violent temper if you try to push him. Most folks around here know better than to do that. All in all, he's a fine young man."
Having seen the results of his temper firsthand, Mrs. Ellis was more than a little hesitant about taking Buck's job offer. The condition of his farm would make or break the deal. Buck's place was in need of too much repair to be fit for human habitation. She and Richie would be back on the train the next day. Mr. Anderson brought the wagon to the cafe about 10 minutes later. Buck, Richie and his mother loaded and then started for the farm. When they got to the Willow Creek Bridge, Buck stopped the wagon, turned to Richie, and said firmly,
"If you and your mother decide to stay, I need you to promise me that you will never play around this bridge. A deep hole of water is under it and you might get drowned."
Mrs. Ellis thought it a little strange but said nothing. Richie also looked puzzled but agreed to this odd request. He had no fear of water, even though he was only a fair swimmer. He and his mother had no way of knowing why Buck dreaded this place so much. Luther met them at the door and shook Buck's hand briskly.
Good to have you back, boss. I about give you up for dead.
You ain't that lucky,
Buck said as he slapped Luther on the back. Luther looked over Buck's shoulder at the woman and boy, then asked,
Who's this you got with you?
It might be my new housekeeper and her son, Richie, if that ugly face of yours don't scare them off.
Don't pay the boss no mind. He ain't right in the head.
He then led Richie and his mother into the front room and offered them a seat. In an uncharacteristically proper manner, he also offered them something to drink.
Have some cool, sweet cider or fresh well water. Just brought a bucket in a minute ago,
he said in an unusual display of politeness.
I must have made a wrong turn somewhere. As best as I can recollect, my farm don't have no butler.
You've been gone so long, you don't know what your farm has or hasn't got,
Luther said sternly, as if he were chastising a child. He was the only person Buck allowed to speak to him this way. He had been more of a father to Buck than an employee. Without his steadfast support, the farm would probably be nothing more than a patch of weeds. Buck showed Richie the barn and livestock, while Luther gave Mrs. Ellis a tour of the house. He was acting strangely nice around this woman. If Buck had not known better, he might have thought that Luther was flirting. Perhaps Luther just wanted a housekeeper around so that he would not have to straighten up the place anymore. Not that he and Buck ever kept a very neat house. It was obvious this house could use a woman's touch.